Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Hello, everybody out there. This is Attention Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Jeff Copper. Today is Wednesday, May the 4th in the year 2011 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm stuttering here because I can't believe it's actually May already. Our topic today is a review of non-medical treatments for ADHD, specifically adults, and with us in our virtual studios is Dr. Russell Ramsey. We're going to jump into things in a second, but before we do, as always, I got a few announcements. Number one, I'd like to acknowledge Shire. Last weekend was interesting. The ADHD Coaches Organization Conference was in Chicago, and Shire was actually in attendance and actually had several representatives that went through some of our breakout sessions. It was really kind of fun to have actually have them there to talk to about some of the things that ADHD coaches are doing. So for our Shire people who might be listening, thanks for coming, and we hope you enjoyed it. As a reminder, if you're interested in having our upcoming shows delivered to your inbox, if you go to attentionradio.com, that's without the talk, attentionradio.com, and sign up for our newsletter, we'll actually email you on twice a month a list of all of our upcoming shows, so you don't have to visit the website. Let's see. Again, we acknowledged this last week, but we wanted to congratulate Ruth Hughes, being named the Chad's executive officer. She had been the interim for a period of time, but she's actually been crowned with that position. So congratulations to you, Ruth. Let's see. Also, there's a couple weeks ago, we had the guys from Totally ADD on, Rick Green and Patrick McKenna. It was a real fun show. We would like to acknowledge that they are going to be actually appearing in Maryland for a show live, talking about some things, and if you want to learn more about that, you can go to www.chadd.org, or you probably can also go to totallyadd.com and get some more information. That promises to be a good show. And as an aside, Rick Green's wife, Ava, was at the ADHD Coaches Organization Conference last week, and on Sunday, she did a little session for us, a little behind-the-scenes type thing, which it was about an hour, and I think I was crying. I was laughing so hard from it. So it was it's quite interesting. So with that, I think we've covered all the announcements. Let's get to today's topic. Again, with us on our virtual studios is Dr. Russell Ramsey. He is currently the co-director of the University of Pennsylvania Adult ADHD Treatment and Research Program and associate professor of clinical psychology and psychiatry at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. Dr. Ramsey received his Ph.D. from Pacific Graduate School of Psychology, also known as Palo Alto University. He completed an internship with the CPC Behavioral Healthcare in Red Bank, New Jersey, and his postdoctoral fellowship at the Center of Cognitive Therapy, University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. Dr. Ramsey has authored numerous professional and scientific articles and book chapters and has lectured internationally on various issues related to adult ADHD. He serves as the editor on the editorial board of the Journal of Attention Disorder and the Journal of Psychotherapy Integration. He also serves as co-chair of the Professional Advisory Board for the Attention Deficit Disorder Association and on the Professional Advisory Board of the Buck County, Pennsylvania Chapter of Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Disorder. So with that, Dr. Ramsey, welcome to the show.
It's great to be back, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
One of the things that I did not include in the bio this time was some of the books that you have written, and I'm trying to do something new. Can you comment on those? I think you could probably do a much better job explaining that to our listeners to get a sense of what's going on than I can. So can you talk about the books that you have and describe them for us?
Yes, I can. Two books so far. The first is entitled Cognitive Behavioral Therapy for Adult ADHD, an Integrative Psychosocial and Medical Model, which I co-authored with the other co-director of Penn's Adult ADHD Program, the psychiatrist Dr. Tony Rothstein, my colleague and friend. And in there, it was a 2008 copyright, and we just outlined our approach, our cognitive behavioral therapy model for adult ADHD, how we think about the difficulties faced by adults with ADHD using the CBT framework that needs to be adapted a bit for ADHD, as you know others have done as well. Steve Safran and his group at Harvard, Mary Salanto and her group at Mount Sinai. And we just outline how we think about ADHD, the interventions that we use in this model, and it outlines many case examples. So it's sort of our treatment manual.
Okay.
And then followed that up with the more recent book that I authored alone, Non-Medication Treatments for Adult ADHD. And in that book, as I said in the preface, I realized, you know, I knew the literature on psychosocial treatments quite well, cognitive behavioral therapy, but when I would do lectures or colleagues would come up asking about, like, a different treatment, what do you think about academic accommodations? What about ADHD coaching? What are your opinions on neurofeedback? And I could sort of give a superficial answer, but I realized I wasn't as well read on those topics. So it was sort of this challenge to go through and really roll up my sleeves and get familiar with some of the other treatment options out there to see what else outside of medications and very often in addition to medications can help people do better in their day-to-day lives.
And this is kind of really plays into our show today, because I think this is a great opportunity for us to kind of cast a net around all this stuff and take a look at what's there and kind of help organize it for our listeners. So, past medications, can you talk to us about some of the available treatments that are out there?
Sure, I'll give a quick overview, and it's sort of like in the order of the chapters. And you know what? I'm a psychologist. I can't prescribe medications, but I'm certainly not anti-medication. But what we're talking about here is pragmatically and working with a lot of people, as I'm sure you do as an ADHD coach, you see that symptom improvement, symptom reduction doesn't necessarily translate into getting things done the way people would like in their day-to-day life. They may say, I'm focusing better, I'm feeling less restless, but they might also say, which is a success from a symptom standpoint, but in terms of, are you filing your taxes on time? Do you feel you're following through on tasks? So you can feel better but still not be doing what you want to do.
Commonly in coaching we say that that medication can help adjust your symptoms, but they can't teach you to get organized.
Right. Or, you know, the little phrase, pills don't teach skills.
Yep.
So
yep.
In terms of, like, in the larger groups, probably the non-medication treatment with the best research evidence thus far is the psychosocial treatments, or predominantly the cognitive behavioral therapy for adult ADHD, adapted for ADHD. And I think that's an important piece, because there are many very good cognitive behavioral therapists out there, but if you don't understand ADHD, you know, ADHD is not the result of negative thinking. That said, growing up with ADHD, particularly if it went undiagnosed, there's a lot of negative outlooks, pessimistic outlooks, self-criticisms that can arise around that, that must be a target of treatment. But if that's all you do, you know, it's not going to be successful, because what we need is the implementation of consistent implementation of effective behavioral coping strategies. And that's one of the reframes we have about ADHD in the field, you know, understanding it as an executive function disorder. It's not that people don't know what to do, it's the implementation. So I think that CBT can be helpful. Very often, most of the research has been done in combination with medications, and also the field of ADHD coaching, I include that as a psychosocial treatment. It may not be a comprehensive psychotherapy approach, but it shares many of the cognitive and behavioral principles, helping people to implement the changes and have success experiences with the goal of them being able to maintain them themselves.
Can you briefly, just for our listeners out there that might be new to this, like maybe they just diagnosed CBT, can you just in like 30 seconds explain, kind of give them an overview of actually what that looks like?
Right. Well, cognitive behavioral therapy, the cognitive refers to how we think about things. The nickel tor being that a lot of difficulties, depression and anxiety, result from or are greatly influenced by our negative perceptions. As I said before, ADHD is not the result of negative thinking, but if we can get trained, if we start talking ourselves out of things prematurely, I know planners are supposed to work, but I always lose mine, so they're not going to work for me. Well, losing it is not the same as it not working. It's its own problem, but it's how an automatic assumption can get in the way and undermine a potentially effective coping skill. Now, there might be other coping skills and choices about coping tools. Well, maybe you need a planner that's more portable or that can fit in a pocket. But and there can also be behavioral avoidance. And this is something I think you had Dr. Russell Barkley on several weeks ago talking about the role of emotions in managing ADHD. These all work together to help get some emotional management so that we don't impulsively give up on things. So cognitive behavioral therapy is a treatment approach that looks at intervening on all those levels to help, again, with the implementation, consistent long-range implementation of effective coping skills.
And I'm an ADHD coach, but I title myself an attention coach because really a lot of my job is to help people to shift what they're really paying attention to. I can't change a person. I mean, I can't change you from being left-handed to right-handed, but I might be able to get you to pay attention that you're actually left-handed living in a right-handed world.
Right.
Plus, your obvious solution is to play golf with a left-handed pair of golf clubs. So
that's a beautiful example because one of the cognitive distortions we see a lot is it's called comparative thinking, meaning you size yourself up compared with you judge yourself based on how you size yourself up against other people. Well, if you're sizing yourself up against somebody without ADHD who may not have to write everything down, can cut corners, can get started quicker, it's not a fair comparison. As you said, it's like a right-hander comparing themselves with a left-hander.
Yeah, if you try to play golf with right-handed golf clubs, it's going to be difficult, whereas if you use left-handed golf clubs, it would be a lot easier.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, that's an example of a cognition, but that can get in the way of acceptance and finding, you know, like you said, the clubs that fit for you, and then we'll get a more fair comparison or assessment of what your swing is like.
Certainly. Dr. Ramsey, I need to pause right now because we need to run to a break. Before we do, if anybody's listening to the show and they want to get in contact with you, what's the best way to do it?
Probably the best way to get in contact with me directly is my email, and it's my last name, Ramsey, R-A-M-S-A-Y. Some people want to put the E in, but it's R-A-M-S-A-Y, at mail, M-A-I-L, dot med, M-E-D, dot UPenn, U-P-E-N-N, dot E-D-U.
All right, with that, we'll go to commercial. We'll be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD, is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and, of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org or call us at 800-233-4050.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
News, updates, and alerts sent right to your inbox. Sign up now at attentionradio.com.
Awareness of how your brain processes information and emotion is the key to self-management and success in today's world. I am an international ADD coach. Contact me, Susan McIntosh, at susanmcintosh.com to see and hear how you too can be a success.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Dr. Ramsey talking about non-medication treatments for adult ADHD. Before the break, we were talking about cognitive behavioral training. Dr. Ramsey, what are the other things that are out there that our listeners should be aware of?
One I think is a very important population is college students with ADHD or any post-secondary student. It could be community college, some people in grad school. or when you think about it, maybe any ongoing continuing education, but most of the research centers around college students, the academic accommodations, the adjustments in the learning or testing environments to accommodate for the features of ADHD that interfere with learning. Now, under the Americans with Disabilities Act, if there's documented impairment in learning, now the diagnosis of ADHD alone is insufficient to retain accommodations, but if it can be documented that it gets in the way of speed of processing or something else that affects learning, there may be, you can petition the school for accommodations such as extended test taking time, maybe taking a test in a quiet room. There's various others. They're not well researched, but they are commonly recommended. And also, there's even if a student with ADHD doesn't qualify for accommodations, there's still many informal accommodations that the student can implement, such as being mindful of the type of study space he or she uses, sitting in the front row of class, how they schedule courses. Now, there is an emerging research, and as an ADHD coach, you'll be interested in this. There's a greater literature on academic coaching for college students with ADHD that's producing some positive results. I mean, the nice thing about it is with college courses, there's always more assignments, there's always more tests. So if you start falling behind a little bit, you can fall behind a lot.
Yep.
And so meeting with an academic coach familiar with ADHD to help develop skills around organization, planning, dealing with procrastination, you know, all the things we target in treatments, there's a lot of opportunity to help out a lot of students. And from a research standpoint, there's a lot of data there to be mined. And the original data on the handful of studies is probably up to like 6, 7, or 8 by now. More have been published since, you know, I wrote the book. It's finding that it's a very effective treatment strategy. And as, you know, I know many coaches and I presented at coaching organizations, I said if I was an ADHD coach, I would be working close to a college campus. Also, college is where we catch a lot of adult ADHD, meaning people who are diagnosed for the first time. They might have been able to get through high school all right, but then getting away to college, it just stretches too far.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to me. I'm in Tampa, and every December, about the middle of the month, towards the end of the month, I can't tell you how many calls I get from adults or parents because their kids went to University of Tampa, University of South Florida, and they did well in high school, but the wheels have come off. They're on academic probation, and they're kind of in a little bit of a panic. Some of them are getting diagnosed for the first time. Some of them have the diagnosis, but it's there.
Right. And the other thing about that that's interesting is we know they have the intellectual academic capacity to be there. It's how the executive functions or executive dysfunction gets in the way of demonstrating that knowledge. It's not being able to complete the paper on time, handing it in late, having a hard time organizing, that gets in the way of the content.
So we have the CBT in coaching, we have the academic accommodations. Can you speak to some of the other things out there, like the computer-based training, the neurofeedback, those types of things?
Right. I mean, in terms of other forms of counseling, like career counseling, marital counseling, family counseling, I think there are a lot of good clinicians out there doing some good work, but we don't have any research yet. But I think these are all, you know, sort of traditional forms of counseling that are getting tweaked to acknowledge the role ADHD plays in relationships, occupational functioning. And this is another role for the ADHD coaches, even though it's harder to study it in the workplace. In terms, now we're talking about maybe what's considered, for lack of a better phrase, some of the more fringe treatments that aren't in the mainstream, even though things like neurofeedback and the working memory training, computerized working memory training, neurofeedback's been around for a long time. The working memory training gets lumped in there. And pretty much these are, of the non-medications treatments, the two that maintain that they're actually treating symptoms more than impairments, or at least if they're affecting impairments associated with ADHD, it's because they're reducing the symptoms. Neurofeedback training. Now, neurofeedback for ADHD in terms of measuring the brainwave profiles that are associated with ADHD symptoms, the high theta to low beta ratio in terms of brainwave profiles, that is not a controversy at all. You know, that's it's understood that, yes, that's a common brainwave profile.
Mm-hmm.
The controversy with neurofeedback training, well, the comes with the training in that if you can set a training profile that will reward the trainee when the theta-beta ratios go within the range associated with better attention. So
mm-hmm.
they're hooked up to the sensors, they're doing some sort of computer game, and when the brainwave profiles, you know, they're playing a game and, like, maybe making a bicycle pedal faster, and when the brainwave profiles go within the targeted range, there's reinforcement, you score points, there's a bell, and the thought is that you can, over time, train the brain to get into that weight, those brainwave profiles, and have better attention. Now, the available research on that for adults hasn't been that great up until more recently. Vince Manastra has done some good work, and there's been some interesting studies done with children where well-designed studies have produced some positive results. There's still some questions about how they were conducted. So for one example, one study that produced positive results based on neurofeedback training, a randomized controlled design, they compared it with some other computerized training, and the benefits persisted at the six-month follow-up point. But they would train two children at a time, and we know from research in other areas, if you're doing something with somebody else, you're going to be a little more focused. It's having the shadow person. Just like with organization, if you have a partner doing it, you're going to be more likely to be able to get activated on the task at hand. So there's some promising movement in the research, but it's not definitive yet. It's sort of a mixed bag. Now, with the working memory training.
I tell you what, if we can hold, because I need to know go to a commercial break.
Sure.
But I want to kind of get back to this a little bit. So let's run to break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ari Tuchman, author of More Attention, Less Deficit, Success Strategies for Adults with ADHD. This is the only book actually written for adults with ADHD. Each chapter is divided into short articles, so you can read only the stuff you want in the order you want. I take lessons from the research and make them totally useful in your daily life. You can get a free PDF of the first chapter at adultadhdbook.com. Check it out.
Okay, let's be honest here. How many times have you forgotten the wet laundry in the washer and it started smelling a little funky, so you had to wash it again, maybe even twice, in the same week? Well, you may be an AD Diva just like me. I'm Linda Rogley, and I founded the AD Diva Network for women with ADD-ish tendencies, especially those of us 40 and better. The AD Diva Network is a great place for support, connection, and a touch of whimsy. You can join us at addiva.net. That's addiva.net.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. We have Dr. Ramsey. We're talking about non-medication treatments for adult ADHD. Before the break, we were talking about neurofeedback, working memory training, that kind of like. And Dr. Ramsey, what I need to ask you, we've talked to some people on the show about some of those treatments, and last weekend I was at the ACO conference, and there were some people talking about meditation and mindful training and like thinking exercise, and all of those areas are talking about this thing called neuroplasticity, the brain physically changing by adjusting what you pay attention to. And I feel like I'm kind of lumping everything into the kind of that kind of area. Is that an accurate assessment? And can you comment on what neuroplasticity is?
Sure. In a nutshell, neuroplasticity is very close to what you said. It's how the brain changes and adapts based on the current environment and how it's a very adaptable mechanism. And many of the treatments we're discussing here, the neurofeedback, the working memory training, mindfulness meditation, I would argue that probably if we would look at it, the coaching, the CBT, they would all probably have effects on the brain. We just, in many of them, we just don't know exactly what they are because it's very expensive to do the imaging studies. But the notion that the brain is not static, it adapts based on our experience, and if we can give it part of the premise of like neurofeedback and working memory training, if we can give very circumscribed, specific, targeted exercises to train certain skill deficits associated with ADHD, the notion being is that they can be improved, strengthened, much like a muscle.
What's exciting to me is I think this is, I feel like, even on the show, I've talked to a lot of experts, and this field is kind of blooming. But what's exciting is that my sense is science is actually starting to prove that if you pay attention to things differently, the physical brain actually changes. Now, you're not going to be able to change your brain into like an Einstein brain, but there's a physical changement. And while there might not be a ton of research that documenting this stuff, because I think some of it is we're in the field, and a lot of it needs refining. But it seems to me that it's really promising. Is that your thoughts?
Let's put it this way. It's the existing research, particularly with like the neurofeedback and the working memory training, there's some positive preliminary results. We want to see generalization by, you know, other labs in a way, not just the people developing some of these things, which is wonderful that they're doing it, but we want to see people going at it neutrally who are running the experiments, doing it the right way. But do we see the generalization? Also, the other thing, similar to the medications, for example, with neurofeedback, if we can document people are getting into the correct brainwave profiles, are these findings translating into the changes in day-to-day functioning that people find to be relevant and important to them? Similar, you know, if they're paying attention better, are they also able to follow through on things, do better at work, do better at school? The functional outcome measures is the buzz phrase that we use.
Is there anything else on the horizon, like in the research world, that really hasn't been brought to the public that's kind of lurking out there that you think might be promising, or are we really just refining what's in front of us?
You know, in terms of, you know, new treatments or things, I think, and the book's not that old, you know, it was a 2010 copyright. I think I have an overview of what's out there. Now, there may be modifications, adjuncts to treatments that are out there to extend them more, because the benefit of medications, when you're sitting in class, when you're at work, they're working. They're helping you out. I can't sit with somebody I'm working with at their job. But one potentially promising area is using technology in a positive way. For example, cell phone applications that might provide reminders, prompts for working on tasks, beyond setting the reminder or the alarm on your cell phone, things that might be more personalized, give reminders of, you know, how do you break down a task. And we probably underutilize some of the available technology already. There are probably parts of our word processing software or other software where we could use them to break down a large task into smaller ones. But I think what happens, technology will make treatments more portable and give reminders out in the real world to make it more relevant in people's day-to-day lives.
Interesting. So as an overview today, we've kind of talked about the cognitive behavioral therapy kind of area of working with a person, their behavior. We've talked about academic accommodations, other forms of counseling, that type of stuff, and then some other treatments like neurofeedback, working memory, meditation stuff. So it seems to me that we have the stimulant area that can help impact the physical part of the brain and help lower the symptoms, but it doesn't necessarily teach you to get organized. You have more of the cognitive behavioral therapy that kind of works to kind of help you get organized. And then we have some of these other things that science is starting to prove that as you pay attention to things differently, it actually adjusts the physical side of your brain, which can impact the symptoms like the neurofeedback, the working memory training, those types of things. And is that accurate? That's kind of where we're going right now, and they're starting to show a lot of promise for some of these other things because we're actually able to refine them and actually get some research.
And I think one of the caveats, though, is, and this is true of the CBT and some of the other technologies, part of the interest now is we're seeing some positive results in a lot of areas, but now we're looking to how long do they last? Because even with some of the studies of neurofeedback or working memory training, some of the benefits may degrade, you know, once the active training is stopped. So
certainly
we want to see how much legs these things have.
Well, what I think is important for our listeners here is that there's a lot of alternatives and a lot of things, depending on who you are, that work that's outside of just using stimulant medications, particularly those that have health problems that really prohibit them from doing something. So there's a lot of promise in what we have out there, and there's a lot of promise in the research, because my sense in talking to some of the experts on the show is that we're starting to see science in these areas with that's pointing to some of these things, but a lot of it is us refining and pinpointing that. As we get better with that, the possibilities are really kind of endless, which is really kind of exciting.
And then just add one more piece to it, and a lot of these treatments are designed to be personalized. So it's really, you know, meeting the person where they're at and really making treatment relevant and personalized for the individual.
Well, Dr. Ramsey, I got to thank you again for being on the show. It's been a pleasure, always enlightening. Again, for our listeners out there, how can they get in touch with you, and how can they get the book?
In terms of getting in touch with me, email is the best way. My email is my last name, Ramsay, R-A-M-S-A-Y, at mail, M-A-I-L, dot med, M-E-D, dot U-P-E-N-N, dot E-D-U. Both books are available at Amazon. The first book, Cognitive Behavioral Therapy for Adult ADHD, was published by Routledge Press. And the second book, Non-Medication Treatments for Adult ADHD, was published by the American Psychological Association. So I think you could go to either website and get them there as well.
Excellent. Thank you again, Dr. Ramsey.
Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.